Welcome everyone to another episode of Streamed and Screened, an entertainment podcast about movies and TV from Lee Enterprises. I'm Terry Lipschitz, a senior producer at Lee and co-host of the program with someone who will be starring on Broadway very soon, Bruce Miller, editor of the Sioux City Journal, longtime entertainment reporter. Bruce, you're hitting the big city soon.
On the streets of Broadway. I will not be on Broadway. I'll be in front of the theaters looking at shows. Yeah, my sister and I usually spend Memorial Day weekend. This is I'm giving this to you as a potential thing you could do. We go to New York because nobody seems to be in New York over Memorial Day weekend. They all go somewhere else. The Hamptons, the shore, whatever it would be, the Jersey Shore. But people aren't normally in the city. And so it's a very good time to go to things like plays, like shopping, like eating, because the normal crowd isn't there. So we've done this for at least 30 years. COVID threw us off because we didn't do it during those years. Yeah, it's fun. It's fun. It's a chance to get to see what we might be seeing in other venues in years to come. It might be a streaming film. It might be a touring production that comes to your community. There's a lot of stuff there to see. Fun stuff. I'm going to Sweeney Todd. Attend the Tale of Sweeney Todd. I'll be there.
That sounds fun. I just hit a little Broadway myself this past weekend and on the traveling circle. We saw The Lion King came to
very Madison. Good.
Yeah. Second time seeing that. Yeah, it's a great show. My wife and I saw it probably around 2008 or 9. We were just married and didn't have kids.
People do. They go to plays.
Yeah, exactly. So we used to go to the theater a lot when we were, before kids, and then we had kids and we stopped going, of course. But we've gone now. We took the kids to see Hamilton last year, and now we took them to go see Lion King, which is fun. There's an interesting scene. I'm not going to say spoiler alert because that show has been out on the road for 25 years now. Yeah. But there was an interesting scene, and I said to my wife, like, they've obviously changed this, but I don't know what it was beforehand. There's this scene where Zazu is being held captive by Scar, the lion, and Scar is like, entertain me, and Zazu starts singing, and he starts belting out lines from Let It Go from Frozen, and Scar is like, stop torturing me with that, but I'm, anything but that song. But I'm thinking to myself, well, what was the other song? Because the show's been out on the road forever. What did they obviously added that in recently since Let It Go.
It was probably another show that, I wish I could tell you.
Yeah. But
there probably was another show they referenced just to be
under
able.
Under the Sea.
It could be something like that. But what I want to know is, did you get out of the show without buying anything?
Yeah.
That is like merchandise heaven.
Yeah, I saw a lot of the parents there with the kids that are of the age where you need to buy something. My kids are not that age anymore. They're 12. We walk in, we take our seats, we watch the show, we walk out, in and out.
Good with that?
Yep, everyone's fine with that. So we've trained them well. We didn't, when we took them to things like Disney on Ice when they were 4 or 5, we would say to them, like, hey, kids, see, you're going to see a lot of kids with all these toys and stuff that their parents buy them at the show. They're really, really expensive. And do you really need that? We would be honest with them. And they'd be like, no, we're fine.
Kids are troubled. They're not happy. No. So giving those toys, that's just trying to solve something that isn't there. And so we don't need that, do we?
Nope.
Now, of course, I would be the kind yelling for everything. If I don't get it all, I'm not. And that's me now.
Yeah.
When this next weekend, I'm going to 6 shows, right? If I don't come back with 6 t-shirts, it's been a wasted trip. I at least have to have the t-shirt.
Get shirts. Yep. Hit a bodega, get a buttered roll.
Okay.
That's a very New York thing to do. Just get a buttered roll. It's just a big roll, roll with like a pound of butter on it. And then you have to decide how much of that butter you actually want to eat.
And then you don't need to eat. So the money that I spent on a t-shirt would have been money I would have spent out of food.
Yep. The New York Times actually did an article one time called The Ode to the Butter Roll on how like utilitarian it is and how New York it is. So check that out. It's essential reading before you go to New York City.
I will do that.
Yeah. Yeah. So have fun with your trip.
And when I'm wearing t-shirts, just know that you have to be jealous.
I will be. Okay. I'm just jealous you're going back to my hometown. I was born in New York City. So
come on, start spreading the news.
I know. So kind of getting back to movies and entertainment and that kind of thing. We thought we were done talking about Everything Everywhere All at Once because we're past Oscar season and that kind of did its thing. But it's sort of back in the news. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, because many of the people who were involved in that film are also part of a new series on Disney Plus called American Born Chinese. And this is based on a graphic novel that won a bunch of awards. And what it is it's taking the story of a boy in high school who is Asian American, who really doesn't feel like he fits in. He feels like, you know, I am the only one, it seems. And the teachers bring to him the new Asian kid. Here's a new Asian kid. And you're going to, of course, you'll be the one to show him the ropes, right? Well, and what he realizes is this other kid is from a different world. He's from a much higher realm, and he has all these skills, and he's able to do all this kind of stuff. And his aunt is actually the goddess of mercy, played by Michelle Yeoh. So there's this kind of otherworldly element to this typical high school kind of growing up story. And you see how he learns about other things that are around him. The bullies, how do you deal with the bullies? Well, you see that reflected in the situations that the gods and goddesses have to deal with on a higher level. So, and it's very fun. If you've not seen the graphic novel, please read it. It is so fun. The panels are very snarky and they're really very cool. And these characters aren't ones that are mismade whole cloth. They're talked about in Chinese culture quite a bit. So they are gods and goddesses who actually are part of their lore, their history. And so it's not like something that was just made up. It's like, what happens if these people come to visit? And I got a chance to talk to two of the stars of the film. And I was really curious because when this was being filmed, it was kind of the start of Everything Everywhere heating up. It became something while they were there and what it was like to be with these people, to see through their eyes, what is that whole experience like? And I thought they were very forthcoming. Ben Wong, who is the lead in the show, he plays Jin Wong, is a young actor from Minnesota, oddly enough, who just kind of made a decision that he was going to go to musical theater school. And that Sidney Taylor, who is his co-star in this, plays his lust object, who he really loves in this school, but doesn't know that the relationship will ever amount to anything. And they were the two I talked to in conjunction with American Born Chinese.
All right, so let's go ahead and listen to that interview, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about that show.
The two of you, when you were making this, I would assume it was the same time that Everything Everywhere was just blowing up. Was that true?
And it came out while we were filming, yes.
What did you learn from Key and from Michelle about dealing with all of that? Because that was just huge.
Well, I don't know. They were, every time we shot the show, the movie came out, and then, you know, we all went our ways, and we'd get back together once in a while for promotional stuff, right? And I'd see them every month or two, and I feel like every time I see them, they're they're like pedigree just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And so, but at the same time, they always remain the same people that we met on day one before that movie had come out. You know, just humbled, down to earth, and kind and generous people. And so that's what they taught me.
Did you ask them for acting advice or anything about the business?
No, I didn't dare. I was like, if they have...
We didn't want to be assholes, Teddy.
Exactly. Just exactly.
Well, Ben, growing up in Minnesota, how did you even think the idea was going to happen that you would be in the business?
Oh, I didn't. I didn't know about the business. I didn't know what the business meant or was or could be. And I definitely didn't see a place for myself in it. But I kind of took a leap of faith at the end of high school. I decided I was going to go to New York and train in musical theater at NYU. And it was sort of a decision that I made kind of on my own. Yeah, it was really only after I came out to New York and started really understanding what the business was. But no, growing up, I was like, this is fun, this is cool, and that's all it will probably ever be. But I'm glad I was wrong.
Yeah, always it's good to be wrong, right? Had you two read the book before this all started to happen? Were you familiar with it or not?
No, I wasn't familiar with it at all. I hadn't heard of it, but I read it before our chemistry read. We had one chemistry read before the audition process was over. And I read the whole thing in probably under an hour and couldn't put it down myself.
Yeah, same. I didn't have it growing up in Minnesota. It wasn't in our public library, unfortunately. But I read it for the first time right after I got the audition size, which are just a couple of scenes they show you. I was like, I need to find out more about this project, because just the few scenes they gave me to audition with were incredible, I thought. And yeah, I ran to the library. I was in Connecticut. Ran, not walked to the Stanford, Connecticut Public Library. That's where I was at the time. And I found it and I read it and I was crying onto their carpet. And the night guide, like the janitor, was telling me that we were closing in 6 minutes, you have to leave. And I was like, please, I need this 20 more pages.
I need the book, right?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, well, you know, had you found anything like that before? Where you said, you know, this I can relate to at all?
Never. And that was what was so incredible. It made me realize that consuming media is not always just sort of an empathetic act, right? Where you're learning about something else and relating to something that's not quite like what your experiences are. For the first time, I was like, oh, you can read something and feel like it's about you. And that was really powerful. And it made me, you know, really want to get to work on this show, because I know this show is going to be that for some.
Yeah. Now, during this time, what is that like, that anticipation that this could really be something huge?
Yeah, it's we've been sitting on it for a year.
I don't know. I just want people to see it. But I don't want, like, my life to change or anything. I just want people to see it.
Exactly. I want people to see it and enjoy it.
Yeah.
And doing the kind of, there are a lot of special effects in this. I was surprised at how many there actually are. Is that difficult to do? I mean, if you go to acting school, I'm assuming that you go, well, they didn't talk about this.
They didn't tell you about the iron diaper in acting school. That's something you use to fly. Let me elaborate more. They put on you this like Kevlar iron thing that looks like a giant diaper, and then they attach wires to the side, and there's two guys standing on ladders and pulleys. You know, growing up watching these movies, you think, oh, it's all must be robots and like high technology, but no, it's just two dudes on ladders, and then the stunt coordinator goes, okay, action, and they jump off their ladders and you go this way. It was an adventure, and it was fun but also kind of terrifying.
And Sydney, how did you know that you two were a real good team together?
I feel like we both knew that from like the first day we actually met. We met for the first time in person during the cast dinner, and the whole time we were essentially just talking to each other. It's like this long table with like Destin Cretton and Kelvin Youp and Michelle Yeoh and Key and all of these wonderful people, and me and Ben are like this the whole time. Like ignoring everyone, and I felt bad, but like we really did just like have a really good connection from the start. I think we bonded over a lot of things in our childhood and
shared childhood traumas that bring us together.
Bonded over it. Yeah. It's fine.
Thank you guys so much. I'm dying for the series to be really a huge hit. So thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Bruce, thanks for that interview. Sounds interesting. What's the target audience on this? Have you seen?
Yeah, it really, they're trying to hit the high school audience, and they want to age up a bit so that all Disney shows aren't seen as, oh, they're for kids. They're not. And adults can watch it. It has a very Mandalorian kind of vibe to it, if you will, where you can put the whole family in it and they're still going to find something. And they're looking to a second season, so it isn't like one and done. I think what it does, though, is it opens us up to a bunch of Asian stories that we've never heard before. And I think by doing that, we're going to see much richer stories. There's going to be more storytelling that isn't repetitive. And I think there, you know, even now when you look at some of the summer movies, there are influences that we're seeing that are already starting to appear.
Yeah, so there's also that connection too with Everything Everywhere. Now, Michelle Yeoh is in this, and she was obviously in Everything Everywhere. Ke-Hai Kwan, yeah.
He's in it. And then the director of Shang-Chi is also involved in this. And you'll see a lot of those kind of, it's a small community, a lot of those connections, 6 degrees of separation that come into play in this series. And that's kind of fun to see that they got together and they said, you know what, we should be working on these things together. And I think what we'll see is it'll be their own little kind of Marvel universe where they'll create more content that we'll see that will spread out in other ways. And yet, Everything Everywhere kind of did the same thing this series does, is it combines two worlds, an otherworldly kind of thing, and then the kind of mundane world of a laundromat owner. And you see how those two can swirl around, just like this boy in high school and his new friend who has this great extensive relative chain, if you will.
Okay.
Well, I think we're going to see more of that. I think this is the sign of things to come. And why not? You know, if you look back, name Asian movies that you really warmed to or you remember. Asian series, Fresh Off the Boat, was like the last thing I can remember that had any kind of theming like this. Let's see these stories because they're interesting stories. They're fascinating stories. And I think it's a brand new world for everybody.
So looking a little bit further now out into the summer, there's another story which also has a little bit of a connection to Everything Everywhere. Stephanie Hsu, who was an Oscar, right? She was an Oscar nominee for that movie. She's going to be in a movie this summer that was a directorial debut by Adele Lim, who co-wrote Crazy Rich Asians, Joyride.
Yeah, and Joyride is like a lot of those Girls Trip, Hangover, any of those ones that were kind of a group of people getting together and getting in trouble. And now we're seeing it in theaters with older actresses. Look at The Book Club, The Next Chapter, 80 for Brady. All these are kind of really takes on Golden Girls. You look at the Golden Girls, you say,
yeah,
they put four people together. They're each one represents a different kind of aspect of a community. And then how do they cope when they get into trouble? And that's Joyride right there.
Yeah. And it's also, I guess, an opportunity too to kind of break out, because it's one of those buddy movies to an extent, but it gets away from the traditional buddy of just, you know, three or four dudes kind of hanging out together. It's an extension of,
you have more opportunity to find somebody you like, you know,
exactly.
There's a character you can relate to. And you always think, which one would I be? I would be the whatever one. So yeah, I think it's going to be big. I think this will be a big film. And I do think that the momentum that we've been seeing with shows like Everything Everywhere, and also with now American Born Chinese, and I'm not trying to shine you on with this, but I do think it's going to be huge this summer. I think it's going to be one of those TV shows that you're going to say, I must watch it. I must see this, because it's fascinating, fascinating to watch.
It does look pretty good. I know when you forwarded me the audio, there was some press materials included. I might have snooped a little bit, looked at a clip here or there. It looks really good. I'm kind of excited for this. And I think as a family, somebody who's looking for family entertainment, because it's really getting hard sometimes to find. And my kids are at that age where they're too old for the little kids stuff, but some of the other shows that are out there are just a little too mature for them still. And it looks like that type of show where as a tween, even they'll be able to kind of get into it. So I'm kind of looking forward to it.
With the writer's strike going on, I think you need to embrace these things that are written, because we are going to have a long stretch of reality shows, game shows, sporting events that will make you glad that you saw something that was scripted. They've already announced the fall schedules for the networks, and they're just packed with game shows. And I don't know, even if it's Jeopardy, I don't know how often I can watch it.
I can't take any more of that. I have to hope and pray that my New York Mets are going very deep into the playoffs, because
There you go. That's what it looks like we're going to be basing. But can I tell you another one that I have been watching, and it's coming out this next week. It's called Secrets of Hillsong. And I don't know about the Hillsong Church, but the Hillsong Church was the one that Justin Bieber started attending. It's kind of a hip mega church. And the preacher there was somebody that, you know, I mean, come on, you think he's hip, he's cool. This guy, Carl Lentz is his name. He is just the man. And you can see why celebrities were attracted to him. A lot of basketball players were members of the church. And then he had a fall, and he was apparently seeing more of the babysitter than, or the nanny, than the kids were. And so then he resigned and is no longer at the church, but he participated in this documentary that talks about Hillsong. And Hillsong is a huge force in the Christian music business because they do a lot of Christian albums. They've won Grammys. I mean, they're the big deal. But it started in Australia, and it goes back and it kind of shows us how this church got going, what spurred the church, and what keeps it going now. They don't talk to the guy who founded the church. And it says at the end of every episode, we tried to reach him. He would not return our calls. He is not. So this is not a complete documentary where you go, oh my God, this is what really is going on, because it's still successful. Hillsong is still going. There are still many ministers who are, you know, doing their thing and bringing in that hipper, younger audience. But that's something that you hear at churches all the time. How do we get the young people? How do we get the young people? Well, here they show you in this documentary how they got the young people to come to their church and what that meant. And then those young people talk about what the church either did or didn't do for them. But it's a fascinating documentary. And yes, Carl Lentz does talk in this, and he talks about his experience and the things that he did wrong. That's on FX and also Hulu, and you'll see that coming out this next week.
All right, so that's another one to check out. Last week's episode that we did, we looked at 6 movies to watch this summer. Episode's done very well so far, but we only touched on 6 movies. So next week, we're going to kind of... Yeah, we're going to do the top 100 movies
that you may not want to watch.
Yeah, no, we're going to look at, there's kind of like the, I guess, to some degree, it's the best of the rest movies that are coming out this summer, but also an opportunity for us to maybe pick out some that we think might just like crash and burn horribly. It should be fun. So come back next week and we will extend our summer blockbuster preview. And until then, thank you for listening to Streamed and Screened.